Hey, Laurel.
Hi, guys. You're so coordinated this morning. What's going on?
Well, we've been thinking. You know how we've been talking about rebranding the podcast with a cool new angle?
Not really. We haven't been talking about that.
Yeah. All right. So here's what we're thinking. We do everything we normally do on the podcast, but we add bass drops.
Yeah, bass drops. We want to appeal to that younger audience. Kids love the clubs. They want to feel that bass. It's fun. And when you have fun, learning is fun. It's a win-win.
Guys, that's a horrible idea.
Okay. Agree to disagree. How about this one then? We take the podcast and we inject some of that old-time sitcom magic.
I'm sorry, what?
Two words for you. Laugh track.
I wonder what our audience will think about it. Oh yeah, they love it.
Okay, here's what I think about that idea. I think that's the worst idea I have ever heard. That's even worse than your last idea.
Okay, well, gotta say, bit surprised to hear your reaction. Wasn't quite ready for that.
But you know what? That's okay. I think there's probably still a way we can work things out, get you on board. What about, say...
Ooh, bass drop laugh track.
Okay, I see what you guys are doing here. This is all just a big metaphor for how state government has been working lately. Both sides present ideas that they know the other side won't like, and you guys probably want a podcast about that, right?
Yeah, that's it. We want to podcast about that topic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
I'm Sean Johnson.
And I'm Laurel White.
This week on the podcast, a lot of big ideas that are probably going nowhere. Well, I gotta say, Laurel, I didn't know that you could be so mean.
It hurt my feelings a little bit, even though...
I mean, we bring you these awesome ideas in good faith, and you just have to, like, toss them out the window?
You know, sometimes you just gotta bring the brutal honesty, guys. You know, that's what real friendship is.
Lucky for us, John is mixing the podcast, and so... Every now and then, there might just be a random... Or maybe, you know, you just gotta...
I see how it is.
I don't know.
It's like
we'll
John
see what
has
happens.
The veto pen of the podcast. He gets to insert whatever he wants.
he kind of does, yeah.
Yep.
You're like a podcast king, really.
Yeah, I won't deny that. That's a title. So, anyway, state politics. People in politics pitching ideas and other folks saying, no way, that's not going to happen.
It was a pretty good week for it. There were a few ideas where, as we were covering them, couldn't help but think, like, what are we doing here? In a way, you know, this is, we know how this movie ends. We know how this pitch ends. But... I think there's a common thread in all of these in that the idea is important to the people pitching it in a way that they're willing to accept that rejection, and that rejection could even be meaningful to them or helpful to them in a political sense. So we can start with Medicaid expansion. This is something we have talked about before, but it was reintroduced this week by Governor Tony Evers, only this time he put a new twist on it. You know, this is something he put in his budget. He would expand Medicaid in Wisconsin to another 91,000 people. It would increase from 100% of federal poverty level to 138% of the federal poverty level who would qualify for Medicaid. Only this year, the federal government has included, in addition to hundreds of millions of dollars in extra federal and, you know, reimbursement, they've included a $1 billion sweetener for holdout states to take Medicaid. And so the governor this time really focused his pitch on that sweetener and specifically what the state could do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this Medicaid conversation is one that has been happening very consistently since I have started covering the Capitol. And you get to a point where you feel like the arguments are very, very similar and familiar from both sides. And I feel like what the governor did this week was to bring kind of a different approach. I mean, like you said, Sean, there's a lot more money on the table than there ever has been before because of this federal sweetener. And so basically what Evers did was he made it really concrete and said, okay, let's not just say this is $1 billion that we could spend that's coming into the state. Let's say here's $1 billion and here's how we could spend $1 billion. Like, let's spend $200 million on broadband. Let's spend $100 million on lead pipes, $100 million on bridge and local road replacement, $50 million on veteran housing grants. So basically, Republicans are in the position of not just saying we don't want the Medicaid expansion. They're now in the position of saying we don't want the Medicaid expansion and all of these other things that we ostensibly support that it could pay for.
And it was kind of interesting at the end of the governor's press conference where he announced this. He said the quiet part out loud. You know, he said if the Republicans decide not to do this, they'll be turning away projects in their own districts. It's not really the quiet part, but he's putting it out there for you. Like, look, if you guys, we hear money thrown around so much right now, like stimulus packages that are trillions of dollars. And $1 billion, well, what's $1 billion? I don't know. Now he's attached it to specific projects, and he is saying to Republicans, if you say no, you're hurting your own district.
And yet, no is still exactly what they said, right?
Forcefully, yes. I mean, I think the going assumption was that they would say no again, of course, but it was a new twist, and so... You know, sent out the emails to spokespeople for legislative leaders that day saying, hey, does this change things for you? And they put out a somewhat rare statement where you had quotes from the Assembly Speaker, the Senate Majority Leader, the Senate President, the Assembly Majority Leader, the Assembly and Senate co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee. So six people, and they had quotes from all of them saying no in various forms or fashions.
And one of the things they were saying no to that we haven't even mentioned yet was that this is not just a bill, but a special session on Medicaid expansion that the governor is calling, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, the special session call from the governor is another way that this is different, because he's certainly talked about this and pushed for it, included it in his state budget proposal. The special session is just like another level of them having to turn it down. And, you know, we're not unfamiliar with special session calls from Governor Evers at this point. I mean, I've honestly lost track of the number.
We've heard that pitch
before,
right?
Yeah, I mean, we had a special session called on policing laws in Wisconsin. There was a special session called on gun violence and gun laws, a special session on elections,
dairy.
Yeah, a lot of things.
And I think early in the governor's administration, they carried more drama a little bit. Like, what's going to happen? A special session, in theory, you're calling the legislature in to deal with this issue using this power that you, the governor, hold. But we know how they've reacted to the previous ones.
They do the old gavel in, gavel out.
Yeah. I remember for the first few of the gavel in, gavel outs, we would kind of rush in and count the seconds of how long the session was actually in. You know, it was 45 seconds in the Assembly and 15 seconds in the Senate before they gaveled in and gaveled out. Yeah. And now they've done that several times. And so it's a little bit of the shine of the second counting has worn off a bit.
Yeah, and you talk about like saying the quiet part out loud too. The quote from Senate President Chris Kapinga and Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinecke is, so they call it the governor's move a thinly veiled political maneuver. And they say, quote, we intend to gavel out this unserious stunt. So we have already seen how this is going to end. They have said we're going to gavel out. We don't have to wonder if they're going to debate these bills. They told us this is how it's going to go. So Tuesday, that's how you can expect this to play out, is that, you know, somebody will come in and gavel this thing open and gavel it shut.
So is this the last you think we'll hear about this from the governor then?
I mean, gosh, I think not. What do you think, Laurel?
Oh, I think it's done now. I mean, this is the end. He'll... I would not be surprised. I mean, we talk about, you know, the politics of all of this and the leaders calling it a political stunt. And I think we would be naive to not remember that there's a re-election campaign coming up for the governor in 2022. And he'll be going around the state talking to voters about what he would do differently than Republicans and how they've stood in the way of specific things. And, you know, if he goes to Darlington, he can talk about the $4 million that he wanted to allocate for replacing a 69-year-old hospital. Or, you know, he can go to Wisconsin Rapids and talk about the money that he wanted to loan to buy the paper mill and get a paper mill up and running again. I mean, these are all very, again, concrete things that spin off of the Medicaid debate, where it's not so much about, you know, health insurance coverage or an expansion of welfare, as Republicans call it, but specific funding and projects that mean something to different Wisconsin communities.
All right. Well, moving on. You know, the governor had his proposal that he probably knew would get a big fat no, but not to be outdone, Republican lawmakers had their own idea, a bill about unemployment that they too likely knew probably would not go anywhere.
Yeah, in theory, we don't know for sure yet what the governor is going to do with this bill, but he has hinted that he's likely to veto this plan that was introduced by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senator Howard Markklein, co-chair of the Finance Committee. They introduced a bill that would cut off federal unemployment insurance benefits that were added during the COVID-19 pandemic. So there's currently this $300 per week enhancer on unemployment insurance payments. The bill that they introduced would end that. It is, you know, the benefit, by the way, is scheduled to expire on its own in September. But Voss and Markklein really bringing this forward is you're starting to see Republicans in the business community really coalesce around this. You know, it wasn't just them introducing this bill. Chambers of Commerce all over the U.S., including Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, said this is a priority for us, and they called for ending it. The entire Republican congressional delegation called for ending it. And now you have this bill from, you know, Voss and Markklein that would do the same thing. So another one that they seem to want to talk about, regardless of what might happen with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is not incredibly surprising. The enhanced unemployment benefits and different things related to unemployment that have been changed during the pandemic, like waiving the work search requirement, for example, and we'll talk more about that later. These are things that Republicans have said need to go away as the state's economy has gotten back to sort of roughly pre-pandemic unemployment levels. I mean, we're at about three, I think the latest number for April was 3.9%. And before the pandemic, it was 3.4% in January of 2020. Might have even been February of 2020 before the pandemic effects were able to be seen in the data. And they say, you know, we're hearing consistently from employers. We've been hearing from employers for months. This is something that I covered the leaders saying in December of last year, that they just can't get workers to come in and apply for their open jobs. And this is not something new to Wisconsin. We've been talking about the worker shortage for a very long time. That was one of the things that Governor Walker talked about really consistently. But I think Republicans are focusing on it in a different way now, saying the state doesn't have the workers it needs because people are staying home because they don't have the incentive to go out. They're getting this extra money. They don't have the same requirements. And so it's more comfortable for them to not look for work.
So one thing that has struck me about this issue is that it seems to have come on all of a sudden. You know, early in the pandemic, the message you heard from Republicans was really, I mean, they were attacking the governor for not getting out unemployment payments fast enough. And now they're slowing it down again, you know, and they want to reduce unemployment. I mean, it's a smaller section of the state. According to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, there are 85,600 people across Wisconsin that are receiving federal pandemic unemployment compensation payments. So, you know, it's not as broad-based as when you had suddenly, you know, unemployment that we haven't seen since the Great Depression. But I kind of wonder how that plays into the politics of their election messages. We do know it plays into pleasing the Chamber of Commerce and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. So that could be part of the equation for them, is that, you know, the business community wants this, and we are allies with the business community and makes sense to us. So here's the bill.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my questions, I guess. There's support from the business community, but is there any sort of political message here that Republicans can sell to voters, the way we were talking about earlier in terms of the governor talking about his Medicaid expansion, but also all these projects that were going to be funded?
It's a little less clear than Medicaid for us, because we've seen polling on Medicaid expansion and we know that's popular. We haven't seen the same level of polling on this. It's something they just started doing. So you could see them using it as part of a message to promote work, attack the federal largesse, you know, attack government spending. That all fits into a general message for them. There doesn't seem to be any hesitation among Republicans, I guess I would say. So they feel good about it, you know, but beyond just a policy they like, everything they do now is going to be a factor, could be a factor in 2022 when they want to take back the governor's office.
All right. Well, moving right along. What is our next item from state government where one side brought up an idea, knowing pretty well that the other side would not entertain it in the slightest?
How about a bill for a nonpartisan redistricting process?
Yeah, that sounds promising.
Because we've heard the answer from especially Speaker Voss on that before. You know, he's not going to budge on this, that he does not want this bill. But nevertheless, this is a bill that's introduced every session. In Wisconsin, because Democrats were frozen out of the last round of redistricting and Republicans drew the map, it's helped them for the past decade. You have mostly Democrats supporting this idea of a nonpartisan redistricting system in Wisconsin. I will tell you, if you were in another state where Democrats had the majority and Democrats drew the map, you would, like Illinois. In Illinois, Republicans push for nonpartisan redistricting. It really does matter, like, your situation on this issue. I don't think it's really a partisan thing. But in Wisconsin, it's a Democratic thing because of where they're at.
Yeah, so basically what this bill would do is create a system like they have in Iowa, where they have a nonpartisan panel. In Wisconsin's case, it would be the Legislative Reference Bureau, right? Would draw the maps and then send them to the legislature, and the legislature could vote them up or down, and then the governor could sign or veto them. So basically just changes who does the actual drawing from the lawmakers themselves to a nonpartisan group.
And just a point of clarity real quick, this is a separate push for nonpartisan redistricting than the one that the governor has been making, right?
Yes. And I think maybe the key difference that I've seen so far, because they both talk about the need for redistricting reform, for nonpartisan maps. But the difference to me between these two that's really worth highlighting is the governor's redistricting commission has laid out the criteria that it will use to develop maps. And a lot of these are the same criteria that are used right now. Equal population, adheres to the Voting Rights Act, stuff like that. But they added a criteria that they will look at called partisan fairness, where they want to make legislative maps behave like statewide elections in Wisconsin, basically, that they will favor plans that achieve election results that are similar to Wisconsin's statewide election results, I think, over the past 5 years. So if you think back about the past 5 years, we had two races for president that were decided by about 20,000 votes. We had a razor-thin governor's race. There are these statewide elections that represent purple Wisconsin that are a lot different than what we end up in the legislature with lopsided Republican majorities. Okay, that's the governor's People's Maps Commission and what they're working toward now. This nonpartisan redistricting bill that's based on the Iowa system is really, it doesn't set that as a goal. You know, the goal is we're going to have people who aren't partisans draw the maps based on basically population, Voting Rights Act, really the dry criteria, and we're going to go from there. Whereas the governor's maps is making fairness a goal of what they want to do.
Well, thank you for that very detailed explanation. I'm pretty sure the question I asked was a yes or no one, but
yes,
lots of good information in there about the two plans.
The answer is yes. It's different than the governor's plan, John. Going to save okay. 5 minutes there.
And just to close the loop on this, what we've heard from Republicans on this new bill has been a big no. So to recap everything so far, we have the governor reinvigorating his push for Medicaid expansion, this time with some federal sweetener money in there for projects around the state that likely isn't going to happen. We have Republican lawmakers putting forward a bill to get rid of a federal addition to unemployment insurance that the governor is likely to veto. We have mostly Democrats introducing a new plan for nonpartisan redistricting, not to be confused with the governor's People's Maps plan for redistricting. And to tie everything in a little bow here, we did have some stuff that actually will get done, but not because of bipartisanship. It's because one side happens to have the power to do something and the other side cannot weigh in on it, right?
Yeah, we did. So one of them has to do with the federal money that the governor has control over. We've talked about that a lot, the latest round of coronavirus money coming to Wisconsin. He said this week that he's going to spend $100 million of that on broadband expansion. And so that's just going to go forward. And Republicans actually acknowledged it when they had the Joint Finance Committee meeting this week. And they were planning to take up broadband, but they didn't because they want to see exactly how the $100 million that the governor said he's going to spend plays out, you know, where exactly it's going to go and stuff before they decide how much and where state money is going to go. So an acknowledgement that that's going to happen just because of the governor's action.
I'm going to start a spin-off podcast called The Summer of Broadband Love. It's going to be about all the bills that want to spend hundreds of million dollars of broadband on broadband, because you had the governor's budget and then you had this federal money comes out and Republicans introduce those bills that the governor vetoed that would have spent a bunch of money on broadband. And then he introduces his Medicaid bill and he wants to spend that money on broadband. And then he decides, no, I'm actually going to use this federal money on broadband. And Republicans are like, well, we're going to like put off our broadband plan first. And then I bet you the money that they put in is big.
It's broadband summer
of broadband love, you know.
That all sounds good. I'm just picturing the soundtrack is going to be a bunch of those old boomer 60s rock songs that you like. anything that maybe played at Woodstock or released during 68, that was the Summer of Love, right?
Yeah, that's right, John. That's
you were there, right, Sean?
I was actually not there.
There was one more thing we had to do, right? Or did we do them both?
No, there was another thing.
There's another thing. Laurel, you covered the other thing.
Yeah, so the other thing was that Republicans on the Administrative Rules Committee, which we love talking about here on the pod, voted to reinstate a work search requirement rule that had been waived during the pandemic for unemployment benefits. Pretty similar to the conversation about those federal unemployment benefits that we talked about before. Republicans just said, hey, it's time to take away some of the pandemic era changes that we made to unemployment in Wisconsin. So because of their vote, those work search requirements, which mean that people have to do 4 different activities every week that they file for unemployment benefits, things like submitting a resume or doing a job interview or applying at a temp agency, things like that, start again by this Sunday, I believe. So fairly big change there.
So you had the governor taking this federal money that he has sole authority over and doing a thing, and Republicans taking this rulemaking process that they have sole authority over and doing a thing. And that's how things still get done in state government when they don't have to work together. I mean, I feel it messes with our theme a little bit, but they do pass things still, and the governor signs bills.
Yeah.
Like there was that Hmong Lao Veterans Day that was a bipartisan bill. I think it passed unanimously. The governor signed it right away. They had a big signing ceremony. It made everybody feel good. Like they don't always hate each other. Bills pass. But on the big stuff, it seems like they always hate each other. And that what we experienced this week was just a really compressed and very, you know, specific version of that.
Well, guys, I'm impressed. We got through a lot of good stuff there. But before we wrap up, just one more idea. What if we did everything we just did, but with electric guitar?
So you guys just want to turn this into like a shock jock podcast, basically, is the gist of...
I mean, it's like 90% of the way there already.
Yeah. Plus, the Youngs love guitar riffs, man.
Yeah, they do.
I know it. It seems like a good idea. Studio audience?
I feel like I should let you guys have something, so.
That's so podcast. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief.
Laurel White is WPR's Capitol Reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd.
The WPR Politics Podcast is recorded in front of a live studio audience and has them sick beats. And if you'd like to hear more, well, you can get new episodes almost every single week when you subscribe to the show. It's available on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and many other podcast apps. While you're there, leave a rating or a review to help other people find it. And of course, well, you can catch up on all of our past episodes anytime at wpr.org/politicspodcasts.